need Jesus every hour. I hope we do, or we realize we do, whether we admit it or not. We need the Lord every moment of every day, and we're thankful that He is there for us every single time. Take your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I'll also be looking at Ephesians 1, two passages tonight as we begin. And I'm sure some this morning, like, what is Pastor going to preach on? I gave the title this morning, How Deep is the Water? Like, what is he going to be preaching on tonight? Well, this evening, the Lord's led me to speak about something that is essential, an essential truth to any Christian. That's the area of forgiveness. And we know about the forgiveness of God toward our trespasses. And we also know that as Christians, we are to forgive the trespasses of others that have done us wrong or hurt us. However, human nature wishes to put a limit on forgiveness. Human nature wants to put a limit on what we will forgive. In other words, we depend on our own natural ability many times to forgive another person. And what if, as a Christian, we were to go to the deep end of the pool, so to speak, and forgive past our natural ability? Instead of asking many times when we're asked to forgive someone, well, how deep is the water? How far am I going to have to go with this forgiveness? So this evening, we're looking at Romans chapter 8. If we could stand out of respect for the reading of the Word of God. So that's where the title, How Deep is the Water, comes from. Are we willing to forgive? And we're going to look at some biblical examples of forgiveness. Not only the forgiveness of Christ towards our sin, but also the forgiveness that saints of the Bible exercised in their lives. Here, Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 27 through 29. Then we'll flip over to Ephesians 1. But Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse number 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. Ephesians 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this evening. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would be forgiving Christians, that we would be forgiving of those we love and also of the stranger. And Lord, I pray that if we have put limits on our forgiveness, many times that we are tempted to think, oh Lord, I can never forgive that hurt. I can never forgive that trespass. Oh Lord, I pray tonight that we would not put limits on our forgiveness, but trust in you to enable us to forgive the trespasses of others, just as you forgive the trespasses of us and of many others who have wronged you terribly, Lord, but you forgave them. I pray that you would bless us tonight. Give us hearts full of forgiveness and mercy. And I pray, dear Lord, that if any bitterness is lurking in any heart, that you would show it to us tonight and thy Spirit would convict us of it, that we would be free from this root of bitterness. I pray that you would bless our time tonight and open our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How deep is the water? You know, maybe before you knew how to swim really well, that you liked the shallow end of the pool. You liked to go into the pool or the lake and go to the shallow water. And then one day, maybe you were down at one side of the pool and your friend said, hey, jump on this side. Jump down at this side over here. And you know how to swim okay, but wasn't a really strong swimmer. And you asked this question, well, how deep is the water? Meaning, how far is it to the bottom? I mean, if I'm struggling or something, can I touch the bottom and save myself from that? And sometimes when it comes to forgiveness, we ask the same question, and we know that God wants us to forgive, but we put limits on it, and we say, well, how far am I going to have to go with this, and how deep is the water? How deep am I able to do it myself? And I can tell you right now, there are things in our life that happen to us that we're not going to be able to forgive naturally. that we're going to have to trust in Christ to give us the power to forgive by walking in the Spirit. But tonight we're going to see some examples. We see the example first, number one, the example of the Bible. What does the Bible tell us? That there is forgiveness of sin. Praise the Lord. That there is forgiveness of sin. If we don't get any other amens, we need to get amen for that one. There is forgiveness of sin. Amen. Amen. Our sins can be forgiven. Our sins can be cleansed. That there is hope for you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:9 tells us that. That there is hope for every person who comes to Christ. There is forgiveness and cleansing from sin. Romans 5:9. We see this verse here. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Justified means being declared righteous, not through our own works, but through the blood of Jesus Christ. And some people would say, well, is there a limit to God's forgiveness? Well, let's look at some verses about God's forgiveness. Look at Psalm 51 and verse 1. Psalm 51 and verse 1. We're going to look at some Old Testament verses tonight that talk about the grace and mercy of God. Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Didn't say just a couple of mine, but a multitude of my transgressions. The multitude, Lord, will you blot out my transgressions? Lamentations chapter 3 is another passage that talks about the forgiveness and mercy of God. And this is not exhaustive by any means. You can go all through the Bible and see the mercy and grace and the forgiveness of God. Didn't we see that with Israel? How they asked for forgiveness from trespass against the Lord, and the Lord forgave them over and over and over again. That's the whole picture we've been learning in Sunday school about the tabernacle, that there is forgiveness for sin. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. If God's compassions never fail, there's not a limit to them. His compassions fail not. It's by His mercy and His grace that we're not consumed because of our sin, because of our iniquity. It's by His mercy that we're not just burned up right as we stand. It's by His mercy He gives us that mercy and that space to repent. Look down a little bit in verses 32 and 33 in Lamentations chapter 3. But though He caused grief, yet will He have compassion according to the multitude of His mercies, for He doth not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. But we see here that we have compassion from the Lord and a multitude of mercies. What about Psalm 103 and verse 11? Another passage talking about the mercy of God. Psalm 103 and verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. So question here, is God limitless? Does God have limits? We say, well, no, He doesn't. Is there a place where God cannot go? No. Is there a place that God, is there something that God cannot do? No. And God can forgive our sin. It's really an arrogant statement when people say, well, I've done too many wrong things. God wouldn't want to forgive me. He can't forgive me. I've done too many bad things. That's a very arrogant statement. It means that you have exhausted the mercy and grace of God, which the Bible says is inexhaustible. Amen. As limitless. Aren't you thankful for that? Is God powerful enough to forgive our sins? Well, Jesus in Matthew chapter 9, verse 6, wanted to make sure His disciples knew and everyone else knew that He had power to forgive sin. Matthew 9 and verse number 6. Matthew 9, verse number 6. And this He healed this man for one reason, to show forth His authority and power. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith He to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. Now verse 4, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power to on earth to forgive sins, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. He has power to forgive sin. Aren't you glad of that? The only sin that God cannot forgive is the sin of unbelief, not trusting in Him. Can't forgive that if we're not willing to trust in Christ. But what do we see in the Bible? An example of forgiveness over and over and over and over again. We see the power of God to forgive sin, the sacrifice for sin. Jesus Christ was the perfect, sinless sacrifice to pay for our sin. And if we come to him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is forgiveness of sin. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad and wretched you have been, God can forgive you tonight. Now, if God has forgiven us, and many of us, or some of us, maybe not many, I shouldn't say, but some of us maybe have the life that we're ashamed of before we got saved, and there were many sins there, God forgave each and every one of them. Now, did God ask us any questions of whether we really meant it or not? Now, he knows if we mean it or not. I understand that. But did he put limits on his forgiveness? I'll forgive you up until this point. And even the teachings of Jesus. And that's number two, the example of Jesus. We see that Christ forgave sin. He taught about forgiveness. Look at Matthew chapter 18, just over a couple of chapters here. He taught about forgiveness because he knew that man naturally is very unforgiving, because man is naturally proud. Man is naturally wants his way, wants vengeance on that of someone who has done wrong. So man naturally, in the natural state, is very unforgiving. And Jesus knew that. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. So what he is talking about is if someone offends him over and over and over again, maybe it's the same thing, maybe not, but the brother offends him and someone that is his countryman comes and offends him, does something against him, maybe he lies about him, maybe he steals something from him, maybe he just comes up and having a bad day, punches him in the face. I don't know what it is. But Peter said, so I know I need to forgive him, and I'm being really good if I forgive him to seven times, right? I'll forgive him seven times. Then after the eighth time, I don't have to forgive him, right? You know, he was expecting that kind of answer from Jesus. I mean, he thought seven times was pretty good. You know why? Because seven is the number of perfection in the Bible. And he knew that. And there were seven is all throughout the Bible. And so seven, this is going to be good. This is the completed one. This is obviously as far as I need to go. I don't think he was quite expecting the answer that Jesus gave him. Because human nature wants to put a limit on what we need to forgive. And how many times you need to forgive it. And how many times you need to forgive somebody. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Now verse 22. Then Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's 490. So on the 491st time, we don't have to forgive. That's not what it's saying. They said there's no limit. Because the reality, are we really going to keep track that many times of the offenses of somebody? We have a little book. Oh, they offended me 33rd time, 34th time, 35th time, and keep a little book. That's what, yeah, I mean, some, we find someone that does that. Man, they've got a problem, right? And they want to hang on, and they want to make sure that they tabulate and that that vengeance and all of that is taken. And guess what? Who's keeping score? God is. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of that on judgment day. And so when we begin doing that, we begin to take the place of God. And say, well, I don't think God's paying attention to this guy. I'm going to make sure that there's a record of what he did to me. That's pride. Jesus was telling Peter and teaching him, you need to forgive. Because does God put a limit on how many times he will forgive us? You can look all through the Bible, you won't find one. What does 1 John say? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness until you get to the 491st time. That would be biblical, wouldn't it? Because Jesus said it. No. He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all sin. He's faithful to do that. He'll do that. There's no limit to it. so should we. So as you can see with the example of Christ. Now look at Mark 11:25. Mark 11:25, another example given here. Jesus taught on forgiveness. Matthew 11:25. There's the necessity of forgiveness. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. That's a pretty strong statement. If we're not willing to forgive, we harbor bitterness and anger and vengeance in our heart. Why is that? Because if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord won't hear us. That's a serious problem. Luke 17:4 is another passage about Jesus teaching about forgiveness. Luke 17:4. Luke 17:4. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt what? Forgive him. This is a synoptic passage, but said in a little bit of a different way. But also he gave the example of forgiveness. Luke 23, over a couple of chapters. Luke 23:34. Now we must paint the scene here. Jesus has been beaten, which I would say is a very much a personal offense. Humanly speaking, but especially to that of the deity of God. He had been spit upon, which is a disrespect of the highest level. One of the highest ways you can offend somebody by spitting on them. That's universal across the world. If someone spits on you, it's on. Because that's a sign of disrespect, universal across humanity. He had been beaten. He had been spit upon. He had been whipped. Unjustly, he had had his beard plucked out, he had been mocked, and had been falsely accused, lied about, caused to carry a heavy cross once again unjustly, then stripped naked and shamed before all there, nailed to a cross, and hung there. Man, if anybody had a right to be mad at the world, it was Jesus. He was God. But what did he say? Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. Man, my problems are pale in comparison, don't they? The offenses we endure pale in comparison when what Jesus went through. And the words on his lips said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's an example. He forgave the sins of those that repented, forgiving those that nailed him to the cross, forgiving those that cried out, crucify him, forgiving Pilate, Herod, and Caiaphas for falsely convicting him, forgiving those that put him to death. This is the supreme example of forgiveness. He gave also parables of forgiveness and mercy. We see that in Matthew 18. We were just over there, but one verse later in verse 23, we see a parable of forgiveness. Matthew 18. And this is a picture of the forgiveness that God gives to us. But this is a positive example, but also is a negative example there. Matthew 18:23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents, which is $1 million about. It's a lot of money. A talent was considered a week's wage, depending how you talk to a day's wage or a week's wage. This is most people believe it's a day's wage. So this man owed back taxes for 10,000 days. Now you do some math on that. How many years is that? That's a lot of years. I'm trying to think. I think it's like 90 years, something like that. It's a long time. Maybe not quite that many. 9 years. Let's see, 9 times 3. Now I'm trying to do the math in my head. I'll do it later. I'll have Brother Hammonds do it for me. But a lot of money. You know, most of us that say we average, you know, $40,000 a year. Now, this wasn't just out of his over an abundance, but this was straight for that many years he owed back. No way he could pay it back. How he got that much in debt, one would have to wonder. But isn't that the way it is with our sin? We're so far in debt, there's no way we can get out. You know, some people, and with sin, you can't declare bankruptcy and get it all forgiven and taken away. They didn't have bankruptcy court in Israel. They sold you into slavery, and they sold all your possessions to get the money back. Now, every seventh year, they would be the year of Jubilee, and you would go free and come back to your land and all of that. Interesting thing about Israel is that the land that was given down was given down from father to son, and even if you had to sell it in the year of Jubilee, you could go back and get it and have your debts forgiven. Wow, if America practiced that, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Right? They'll have our debts forgiven, our mortgage forgiven on the year of Jubilee. That would be wonderful. But we see the forgiveness here, the example of forgiveness. Verse 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, he had asked for, give me time to pay it, and he begged and he cried and wept before the Lord. Said, Lord, give me time to repay it. I'll do my best. And the Lord had compassion on him and forgave him the debt. He didn't say, okay, work it off till it's done. He said, there's no way you can do that. I forgive the debt. That's another picture that works can't save you. Because the Lord forgives our debt. He doesn't say, okay, start working it off. He forgives our debt. Praise God. As we sing the hymn, the old account was settled, right? There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven, what do we see? There was an account that was growing every day. But no one could pay it. But Jesus forgave. He paid it with his blood. But here, now this man, you would think that this man, after he had been forgiven such great a debt, would be forgiving everyone that was around him, and people owed him money. Or just maybe he would pass it on. Did he? No, he didn't. Verse 20, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, roughly about $1,000, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But what happened? Verse 30. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother his trespass. Important lesson here. God takes very seriously whether we forgive someone or not. We have been forgiven from so much, and there's nothing that someone has done to us that is greater than the sin that we have committed against God. And he forgave it, so we should forgive the trespasses of those against us. Now, we are to be Christians and true disciples and are to be like Christ. So we should follow after his example. And I have a calculation on that 10,000 pence, about 25 years worth of payment. That's a lot of money. So if you get down to that, about $1 million, if you make $40,000 a year, that's a lot of money. And he had to pay all that back soon. Not possible for him to do that and survive. But the Lord forgave him that debt. But what do we see about the example of the Bible saints? There were many examples in the Bible of forgiveness. We see first in Genesis 33 in verse number 4, that of Esau. Genesis 33 in verse number 4. Now Esau, if in our worldly mindset, would say, well, he has every right to be mad. Jacob, how would you like to have a name like Jacob that means supplanter? Right? That's what the name means. Means deceiver and supplanter. Now, if you were Jacob, you would have been quaking in your boots, because Esau now was the ruler of the Edomites, and he had a nation and wives and a standing army of his own, and came out to meet Jacob many years later after this had been done. He had stolen his birthright, stolen his inheritance, stolen everything that his father wanted to give him. Esau was angry, wanted to kill him. That's why Jacob ran and went to his uncles and lived there. But now he's returning. Now Esau is coming towards him in the desert, sees him coming. And Jacob is worried, and they split into two bands of people in case the one was attacked, the other could escape, because he really thought that Esau was going to make good on his promise to kill him these many years later. But what happens is not what Jacob expects in Genesis 33 and verse number 4. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Esau forgave Jacob. Amazing. Of everything that could have gone in that direction, we would think, well, this isn't going to end well. And then you read that. I mean, maybe some of you read that, you were surprised. When you first read it, I was probably like, wow, he forgave him. Because that's not naturally what we think, is it? Esau forgave him. What about Joseph in Genesis 45? He forgave his brothers. Now, from the very beginning, Joseph had problems. Not with himself, for he dreamed dreams and he could interpret them. He was a gift given by God. But his brothers had problems with him from the beginning. They were jealous of him because Jacob loved him more than the others. Gave him special gifts, and they were jealous. And they made fun of him and shamed him, but then also they were going to kill him and threw him into a pit and were going to kill him. But then they decided to sell him into slavery and deceive their father into thinking he was dead. If Joseph had any reason to not want to forgive because they had stolen his life with his father away from him, had stolen all of that away from him, if he wanted to look at it that way. But is that how he viewed it? No. He said that God appointed this time. That God had raised me up into this time and this place, had given me this opportunity so that he might have an opportunity to save his family. And what did he do? He forgave them. He forgave his brothers. But in Acts chapter 7, one of the greatest examples of forgiveness besides the Lord Jesus Christ is that of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Let's look over there, Acts chapter 7 and verse number 60. Now Stephen was a deacon, he was a preacher as well. And he was called and brought before the Sanhedrin, and he gave them a sermon, a salvation sermon, a history lesson of what Israel had done and of what they had done in killing Jesus Christ, but that there was salvation under no other name but Jesus Christ. And they took him out and they stoned him. And there was a young man that was consenting unto his death whose name was Saul. Saul stood there, eventually to be the Apostle Paul. Saul stood there and was consenting, meaning he was the authority consenting for Stephen to be stoned. And maybe he had seen stonings before, I don't know. The stoning of criminals, the stoning of those that had violated the law. But usually capital punishment was done by the Romans. But in violations of the laws of God and of Jews, that there were stonings, they would commit the stoning. But here, Stephen, though this was a great injustice, in verse 59, they stoned Stephen calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Meaning they were stoning him while he was praying. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He was ready to be stoned. And what did he see a couple verses before? He looked up. Verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. But notice it's very interesting here that Jesus was standing. He saw him standing at the right hand of God. Stephen, faithful, completely unjustly stoned, did what was just like his Savior and forgave those who were killing him. I think when we look at these examples of Joseph and Esau and Stephen and Solomon and others, that our problems aren't as big or as severe, yet they forgave. What example will we be? These men are examples of forgiveness, of showing forth the forgiveness of Christ. We have an opportunity to be a testimony when we are willing to forgive. When we are willing in the face of tremendous hurt and loss to forgive the one who has hurt us. This is the love of Christ in action. As human beings, we have a limit to what we can forgive. There are some who will say, well, I will not forgive if someone did this to me. If someone killed my child or someone did this, I would never forgive them for it. I cannot forgive that. In a sense, they are right. Humanly, they cannot. But with the power of God and of Christ as a Christian, we can. This is why, as Christians, we are given so many commands regarding forgiveness. Mark 11:25 is one. Let's look at a few. Mark 11:25, commands regarding forgiveness. We are to forgive. Mark 11:25. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespass. Another is Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32. We are commanded here, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13 is another verse where we're to forgive, repeated over and over again. Why? When God repeats something, it means that it's something we need to be reminded about. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Over and over again, we're given what? The example of Christ and what he forgave, and that he forgives sin. He has already forgiven your sin, so we're to forgive the sins of others. But what is the result of a lack of forgiveness? Hebrews 12:15 tells us that. An unwillingness to forgive, Hebrews 12:15, is that of bitterness. Bitterness is a lack of forgiveness, which results in anger, which results in bitterness. Have you ever talked to someone and they begin talking about something that has happened to them? Someone that has hurt them or done something to them, and then you see them getting very agitated, they start getting angry. Right, we've all seen that, start getting angry. I've had many of people that talk to me and say, well, I'm struggling with this, forgiving this pastor, and they begin to tell me about it, and they get angry all over again in my office. I say, wait, hold on a second. I mean, they're like reliving it, and they get angry and upset. I said, how could they do that to me? The devil is real. Sin is real. Evil in the hearts of man is real. But we're to forgive them their trespasses, as Christ is willing to forgive them. Whether they've asked God for forgiveness or not is not the point. The point is we should need to be willing to forgive. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Right here, a root of bitterness springing up. If we're unwilling to forgive, well, that wasn't fair. That wasn't right. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair. But we are not the executors of judgment on this earth or in this life. God is. And we must be willing to forgive it and let God be the judge of it. When we become bitter and we hold that inside, we think that we're making that person pay, when really you're the one making yourself pay. You're the one that's the prisoner, not that person. They can go on their merry way, but you are the one that live constantly with the memories and with the thoughts and with the feelings and with the anger, and your spiritual life will dry up and it springs up and it chokes out your spiritual life and your walk with God. And it's sin to not forgive those who have offended us. Are we willing to let those people go? Are you willing to follow the example of Christ? Are you willing to be an instrument of God's grace and forgiveness? It does not come naturally. It comes by walking in the Spirit of God. But will you submit to the Savior in forgiving the trespasses of others? One of the most amazing testimonies have been of those that have parents of children, some of that have had their life taken by a drunk driver or taken in a violent act. And in the courtroom, they have a moment to speak to those that are about to be sentenced. They're about to pay for their crime. And they let them know that they forgive them for what they did, because we're Christians. And Christ is willing to forgive your sin. Man, we know, we hear stories and testimonies of that's a testimony. But then I just read recently of one who was given the death penalty, claimed to be a Christian, and this person was evil, and said, "Well, I pray they burn in hell for a long time." Not willing to forgive. Sounds like a bitter person to me. Not diminishing their loss or what this person did. Was an evil person, but they were unwilling to forgive. That person's gone, but now that person will live in bitterness and anger and have their life destroyed by it. Will you let that go? Will you let that situation go? Will you forgive it and let God take care of it? God takes care of everything, doesn't he? He takes care of us. He takes care of this universe and this place. And really, when we're saying, "I want to take care of it," we're saying, "God, you can't take care of it." "Well, I don't see what God's going to do about it." He'll take care of it at his time and his way. We don't need to worry about it. Bitterness is really a lack of faith in God. That God is going to take care of it. That God is going to be the one that takes account, and that we don't need to worry about it. Forgiveness. So are we willing to forgive when something happens to us, or do we take a look and say, "Well, how deep's the water? How far am I going to have to go with this forgiveness?" "Well, it's too deep for me. I'm not going to do it." "Nope, that's too much. There's a limit to what I can forgive." Or are we going to have the example of Christ, and no matter the offense, no matter what happens, no matter what someone will do to you, no matter what, you're going to forgive them for what they did to you, as Christ has forgiven you. If you're a Christian, he's already forgiven you, and he still forgives you when we do wrong. Are we willing to forgive the trespasses of others and be a representative and ambassador of Christ for him on this earth? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this invitation time. I pray that you would bless our lives, dear Lord, that you would bless each one here. And Lord, I pray if any here tonight, they are struggling with an area of forgiveness. They are struggling to forgive what someone has done to them, might be recently or in the distant past. And they have never let that go. Lord, I pray that they would let it go at the altar tonight. That they would forgive as you have forgiven us. Perhaps one in here tonight, they have never accepted your forgiveness of sin. Never accepted your free gift of salvation. I pray that they would come to you tonight. But Lord, I pray that if any bitterness is in any heart, Lord, I pray that we would come and confess it as sin. And that we would confess and forgive and ask thy forgiveness at the altar tonight. That we would not delay, that we would not wait another moment, but that we would lay down our bitterness, lay down our rights, lay down our control of the situation, and say, "Lord, I'm casting all my care upon you. I am forgiving as you have forgiven me. Are we willing to do that tonight, dear Lord? I pray that we are and that you would speak to hearts. Bless, we pray, this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.